How is it mathematically possible for a county of, you know, over 150,000 people to have the exact same number of homes for sale today as it did exactly 365 days ago?
Right down to the single digit, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Down to the single digit. And while that's happening, housing prices are somehow spiking by like 13% in the city center, but completely crashing, I mean, nearly 20% out on the outskirts.
It's honestly pretty wild to look at.
It is. So welcome to the deep dive. It is late May 2026. We've all just wrapped up the Memorial Day weekend barbecues. Kids are finishing up school, and that traditional summer selling season is officially kicking off.
Yep, prime time for real estate.
All right. And you, our listener, have handed us a really fascinating stack of data from NTRES, the North Texas Real Estate Information Systems, plus some local market reports and even some local realtor marketing materials focused specifically on Parker County, Texas.
We're going to cut through a lot of noise today.
Exactly. The mission for this deep dive is to figure out what on earth is actually happening in this market. Because Parker County right now is basically a market with a split personality.
A very severe split personality.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of the weather we get here in Texas in May.
Yeah.
You know, it's completely calm and sunny in one zip code, and then you drive 15 minutes down the road and you're driving into a literal tornado.
That's actually a perfect analogy for what we're seeing in the numbers.
So the suburban core is holding incredibly strong, but the rural outskirts are facing this, well, this massive reality check.
Yeah, you really can't look at it as just one single real estate market anymore. It's more like a localized economic fracture.
That fracture, right.
You got the suburban core operating with a totally ironclad pricing floor. And then the rural fringes are experiencing what I can really only describe as a traumatic liquidity crisis.
Okay, traumatic liquidity crisis. That is exactly what we need to unpack today. So we are going to completely bypass the top level headlines because, honestly, the aggregate data for Parker County is essentially a mathematical lie.
It really is. It hides all the actual dynamics.
Right. When you blend a soaring suburban market with a crashing rural market, the average temperature, you know, it looks perfectly normal, but that average doesn't actually exist anywhere in the physical world.
No, nobody is experiencing the average market right now.
Exactly. So to understand where your leverage actually sits as a buyer or seller heading into this summer of 2026, we have to tear these numbers apart. We're going zip code by zip code.
Let's do it. I think the best place to start is by looking to just the sheer statistical improbability of that countywide inventory number.
Oh man, yeah. Let's look at the macro first. So I am looking at the April 2026 entry IS data for Parker County. And this is the number that just totally broke my brain when I first read it.
The 1,531 stat.
Yes. There were exactly 1,531 homes for sale, which represents a 0% change from April 2025.
Which is just, I mean, it's mind-boggling.
It's not a rounding error, folks. Exactly 1,531 homes. And if we zoom out to look at the entire first quarter of 2026, available inventory sat at 1,406 homes.
Which is down, what, just 1.8% from Q1 of 2025?
Right, an insignificant 1.8%. So what does a flatline on a metric like that actually mean?
Well, hitting a flatline on a metric as dynamic as housing inventory is incredibly rare. I mean, think about the sheer friction required to maintain that kind of stasis.
Right, because stuff is always happening.
Exactly. You have tens of thousands of individual life events occurring constantly. Marriages, divorces, relocations, probate sales.
New construction deliveries, too.
Yes, all of it. So for the net result of all that chaotic human activity to land on the exact same integer 365 days later, that means the market has reached a state of profound, measured equilibrium.
Okay, measured equilibrium. I like that term. But I interpret that equilibrium a little bit differently, I think.
Oh, yeah. How so?
Well, I don't see it as this, like, natural resting pulse. I see it as two massive opposing macroeconomic forces basically grinding against each other to a complete standstill.
Okay, break that down. You mean the lock-in effect versus affordability?
Yes, exactly. On one side, you have this persistent lock-in effect. You've got homeowners sitting on those sweet 3% mortgages from 2021, and they are doing everything in their power to avoid selling, right?
Right, because giving up that rate is financially painful, so that suppresses new listings.
Exactly. But then on the other side, you have this brutal affordability ceiling driven by current interest rates, and that is ruthlessly suppressing buyer demand.
So the unstoppable force meets the immovable object.
You got it. And the result is exactly 1,531 homes just sitting there in a holding pattern.
That tension really is the defining characteristic of the 2026 market so far, because the transaction volume we are seeing now, it isn't driven by aspiration anymore.
Right. People aren't just moving because they want a slightly bigger kitchen.
No, it is driven by pure demographic necessity. People are only moving when a major life event essentially forces their hand.
Yeah, that makes sense. But we also have to look at the secondary metric attached to that inventory, right? The months of supply.
Right. The supply metric is crucial here. In April, Parker County was sitting at 5.8 months of supply. That's down just a fraction from 6.2 months the previous year.
And for you listeners who track these metrics closely, you know that 5.8 number is fascinating.
Because it technically borders on a perfectly balanced market.
Exactly. Historically, 6 months is the definition of a balanced market. But, maybe you agree with me here, a 5.8-month supply in 2026 feels structurally very different than a 5.8-month supply did a decade ago.
Oh, without a doubt. The cost of capital is just so much higher now.
Right. So a buyer who is navigating a nearly 6-month supply today, they aren't just dealing with more choices, they are dealing with the luxury of hesitation.
That's a great way to put it. The psychology of the transaction has entirely inverted. When supply hovers near 6 months in a high interest rate environment like we have now, the leverage shifts away from the broader market and squarely onto the individual asset.
Meaning the specific house itself.
Exactly. The baseline frenzy that used to cover up a seller's mistakes. That is completely gone.
Oh, yeah. During the pandemic boom, you could list a house with green shag carpet and a leaky roof and still get 10 offers over asking.
Right. But a buyer walking through a property today, they are actively looking for reasons to say no. Whereas 3 years ago, they were begging for any reason to say yes.
So let me push back or maybe just clarify here. If inventory is flat and supply is right at that 5.8-month sweet spot, who actually holds the leverage at the negotiating table right now?
Well, I would argue the leverage right now belongs exclusively to the flawless property.
The flawless property.
Right. If a seller brings a beautifully maintained home to the market, prices it flawlessly according to the 30-day comps, and maybe offers a concession to buy down the buyer's interest rate, that specific seller retains the leverage.
Right. They will still attract multiple offers even in a 5.8-month market.
Exactly. But the second a seller brings a flawed asset to the market,
right,
you know, deferred maintenance, an outdated layout, or worst of all, an aspirational price tag.
Oh, the aspirational price tag is a killer right now.
It is. When that happens, the buyer instantly captures all the leverage because the buyer knows they can simply walk away and go look at the other 1,530 options.
Yeah, the margin for error has just totally evaporated. And I think this brings us to the real core of the Parker County data, because that evaporation of margin, it is not happening equally across the map.
Not at all.
No. When we isolate the March 2026 highlights for the suburban core, specifically the Weatherford zip codes, the data paints a picture that seems totally counterintuitive to everything we just talked about.
Let's pull up those specific March numbers because they are wild.
Okay, so new listings in Parker County were down 4.8% year over year, dropping from 538 to 512.
Okay.
And closed sales were also down 4.1%, from 266 down to 255. So both supply and velocity are contracting.
Right. Fewer people listing, fewer people buying.
But, and here is the crazy part, against all logical expectations for our contracting market, the median sales price shot up by 12.6%.
Yeah, a nearly 13% spike in median price while transaction volume drops across the board. That usually indicates a pretty significant distortion in the data.
Right. So how does the median price spike by nearly 13% when fewer people are listing and buying? My theory here is that we are looking at a classic composition of sales distortion.
A composition of sales, yes. Explain how you're viewing that.
Well, it's sort of like looking at a stock market index, right? Where you have three massive tech companies pulling the entire index up, while the other 497 companies are actually bleeding value.
That's a really good comparison.
Right. So the median price isn't telling us that every single house in Parker County appreciated by 13%. It's telling us that the mix of homes successfully making it to the closing table has drastically shifted toward the premium suburban product.
The data supports that theory entirely. It's the single-family homes in those desirable, closer-in Weatherford subdivisions that are the assets successfully clearing the market.
Right. Ones right in the core.
Yes. Sellers in that suburban core who actually price their homes correctly are finding capable buyers. Meanwhile, the lower-priced homes, the properties that need significant rehab, or the homes out on the rural fringes, they are simply stagnating.
And because they're stagnating and not actually closing.
Exactly. Their lower price points are removed from the median calculation entirely.
Wow. So the strong performance of the Weatherford suburbs is basically artificially propping up the county's overall report card.
That is exactly what is happening.
Which means, listener, if you are an active buyer looking in Weatherford right now, you really shouldn't expect a discount just because the national headlines say housing is slowing down.
No, you are competing in the one microclimate that is still operating with immense localized strength.
Right. But, and there is always a, but even within that Weatherford microclimate, there is a data anomaly in the March report that I think exposes a massive vulnerability in the broader housing ecosystem.
You're talking about the residential lease market.
Yes, the condo rentals. Let's look at this because it is fascinating.
The rental data provides a brilliant counter-narrative to all that single-family appreciation.
It really does. So the average rent for a condominium in Weatherford plummeted from $2,303 in March of 2025 down to $1,877 in March of 2026.
That is a massive drop.
We are looking at a drop of over $400 a month in a single year in the exact same geographic footprint where single-family homes just appreciated by nearly 13%.
Yeah, seeing that severe of a drop in rental rates, it points directly to the multifamily development life cycle and just how totally disconnected it can become from the single family market.
Let's trace the mechanics of that life cycle because I think it's important. To understand why rents are crashing in 2026, we actually have to look at what commercial developers were doing back in like 2022 and 2023.
Right, during the height of the frenzy.
Exactly. Back then, Parker County was the epicenter of a massive relocation boom. You had all these out-of-state buyers flooding the zone, getting outbid on single-family homes, and they desperately needed temporary landing pads.
And because they were desperate, they were willing to pay absolute premium rents.
Like $2,300 for a basic condo, just to establish a local footprint while they spent months house hunting.
And the institutional capital saw those yield metrics and immediately deployed into the area.
Naturally.
But the capital stack for a large-scale multifamily project, you know, securing the land, navigating zoning, acquiring the construction loan, and actually building the units, all that takes roughly 36 to 48 months.
Right, so there's this huge lag, which means the thousands of apartment units that were underwritten based on that frantic 2022 demand curve, they are just now receiving their certificates of occupancy here in early 2026.
Exactly. This massive wave of new supply is hitting the rental market at the exact moment the single family market has finally stabilized at that 5.8 months of supply.
So the urgency of the buyer pool has just vanished.
Completely. Buyers today aren't losing out on 10 bidding wars and then retreating to a luxury rental out of sheer desperation.
Right. They have the luxury of hesitation, like we said earlier. They are taking their time, finding a home, and bypassing the rental market entirely. And furthermore, and this is where it gets really painful for the developers, many of these multifamily developers likely utilized floating rate construction debt, right?
Oh, absolutely. And their interest rate hedges are expiring right about now.
Ouch. So they are under immense pressure from their syndicators and their lenders to lease up these new buildings immediately just so they can service their debt.
They don't have the luxury of holding out for top tier rents anymore. They are aggressively slashing prices, offering, you know, 2 months of free rent, wave deposits, just anything to get bodies in the doors.
And the mom and pop investor who owns a single condominium in Weatherford is caught right in the crossfire.
Yep. They are forced to drop their asking rent from $2,303 down to $8,877 just to compete with the brand new, heavily amenitized apartment complex down the street that is practically giving away leases.
Wow. It is a ruthless correction, and it's driven entirely by the delayed physics of commercial real estate development.
It's a perfect storm for the suburban landlord.
Yeah.
But, you know, a massive windfall for the renter right now.
Absolutely. So if you're looking to rent, now is your moment. But, okay, if the Weatherford multifamily market is a localized storm, what is happening outside the city limits is, well, it's a full-blown economic catastrophe.
Yeah, this is where the data gets genuinely shocking.
So let's make a sharp transition here. If the suburban core is doing well, what happens when you drive 15 minutes out into the country?
The report euphemistically refers to these areas as the farm and ranch flavored corridors.
Farm and ranch flavored, I love that. But the reality is far less charming than that makes it sound.
Very much so.
Let's actually read these statistics verbatim because the gravity of these numbers really needs to be fully absorbed. We're looking at three specific rural zip codes here.
Right, the acreage markets.
Yes. So in Q1 of 2026, Millsap, that's zip code 76066, posted a median price of $490,000, which is down 5.5% year over year.
Okay, 5.5% isn't catastrophic on its own.
Right. But the devastating metric is the days on market. It is sitting at 209 days.
Over 200 days.
An increase of nearly 66% from last year. And here's the kicker. There were only 7 total closings in the entire zip code for the whole quarter.
I mean, a market with only 7 transactions over a 90-day period has functionally ceased to exist.
It's completely frozen.
It is.
Let's move over to Lipan, zip code 76462. Median price there dropped to $500 to $1,500. That's a 13.2% decline. And days on market ballooned to 150 days, which is up over 138%.
Jeez.
But Perrin, zip code 76486, is where the floor has just truly fallen out.
Yeah, the Perrin numbers are brutal.
The median price crashed by 19.3%, down to $545,000. And this is the most vital metric of all sellers in Perrin are receiving an abysmal 79.6 cents on the dollar compared to their list price.
Getting 80 cents on the dollar is a massive, massive haircut for a seller.
I mean, a 20% discount, basically.
Exactly. The collapse of the list-to-sold ratio in Perrin represents a systemic breakdown in the pricing consensus between brokers and buyers. A ratio of 79.6% isn't the result of aggressive negotiation.
No.
It is the result of seller capitulation.
Seller capitulation. I think the best mental model for understanding a rural property in 2026, and tell me if you agree, is to view it as an illiquid bond.
Okay, an illiquid bond. Explain that.
Well, an acreage property yields no dividend, right? In fact, it has a negative yield. You're constantly pouring money into property taxes, insurance, tractor diesel, fence maintenance, fixing well pumps.
But all the carrying costs?
Exactly. And during the zero interest rate phenomenon, buyers just ignored all those carrying costs because the principal value of the asset was appreciating by 20% a year.
Right. The appreciation masked the expenses.
Yes. But now that the broader interest rate market has shifted and the appreciation has completely stopped, the owner is left holding a highly expensive, illiquid asset.
And the carrying costs act like a ticking clock on the seller's leverage.
Exactly. When they are finally forced to liquidate after sitting on the market for 200 days, bleeding cash the whole time, the principal value just gets absolutely crushed.
It does. It's like, well, another way to look at it is your vintage tractor analogy.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier. Selling a rural property right now is a lot like selling a highly specialized piece of equipment, like a vintage tractor.
Right.
It has high value, sure, but you have to wait a very long time for the exact right buyer to happen to drive down your road. And if you need cash tomorrow, you're taking a huge loss.
And the problem right now is that the buyer pool for that specific asset class has experienced a massive demographic contraction.
Where did they all go?
Well, think about who was buying these properties. The Escape the City movement that fueled the rural boom in 21 and 22 was largely driven by, frankly, naive urban capital.
Naive urban capital, wow.
It's true. You had buyers who were accustomed to the totally frictionless living of a Dallas apartment.
Mm.
And they bought into this romanticized aesthetic of owning 5 acres and a big red barn.
Oh, totally. They bought the Yellowstone fantasy.
Exactly.
But they didn't factor in the reality of, like, repairing a septic system in August or dealing with a cracked water well when it freezes.
Right. The labor and the capital required to actually maintain agricultural infrastructure. It shattered that fantasy very quickly for a lot of people.
I can imagine.
So that specific demographic of buyer has retreated back to the low-maintenance suburban core, which, going back to our earlier point, is precisely why Weatherford's prices are up 13%, while a place like Millsap is completely frozen.
That makes total sense. But, you know, we also have to discuss the mechanics of agricultural appraisals here, because I suspect that is the invisible wall that is stopping the few remaining buyers from actually closing.
Oh, the appraisal process is a huge factor.
Right. Like, if a buyer actually wants that property out in Perrin and they agree to a price with the seller, getting a bank to actually finance it in 2026 seems nearly impossible.
It is incredible.
So in a frozen market like Millsap, where there are literally only 7 closings in a quarter,
it becomes impossible. The appraiser is forced to pull comps from 40 miles away, often crossing county lines, or using sales data that is 14 months old.
And banks hate that.
They despise it. The underwriting departments at major lenders look at that appraisal report, identify the extreme risk profile, and they simply refuse to originate the loan at normal terms.
So they require the buyer to put, what, 30 or 40% down just to cover the risk delta?
Often, yes.
Oh,
which instantly prices out 95% of the remaining buyer pool.
Wow. So the seller is left staring at a 209-day days-on-market counter, bleeding carrying costs, until an all-cash buyer finally arrives and offers 79 cents on the dollar.
And the seller accepts it because they have zero other avenues for liquidity.
Man, that is grim. Which brings us to, I think, the most practical aspect of this deep dive. If a listener out there owns a property in one of these distressed rural corridors, or conversely, if they're looking to acquire one, how do they navigate a market where the standard algorithms and traditional lending models have just broken down?
This is where that local marketing collateral you provided becomes a really invaluable case study.
Yes. Let's talk about the Pete Realty stuff. So we have this piece of marketing material from David and Marsha at Pete Realty. It's obviously designed to solicit listings in Parker County.
Right.
But what really fascinates me is the copy David uses to introduce himself. He doesn't highlight his sales volume or, you know, his expert negotiation skills.
Typical realtor buzzword.
Exactly. Instead, he explicitly notes that he and his wife are based out of Decatur and Aubrey. He mentions that they care for retired Tennessee walkers who rode the North Texas LBJ Grasslands Trail System, and that they raise British white cattle.
From a purely analytical standpoint, that is highly defensive marketing.
Defensive marketing. I like that. I think it's brilliant signaling.
It really is.
Because in a market where the MLS algorithm is completely failing to price assets correctly, David is bypassing the algorithm entirely. He is signaling directly to the ultra-niche, high-net-worth buyer.
He's stating unequivocally that he possesses the specialized knowledge required to defend the intrinsic value of an agricultural asset.
Right. The inclusion of the Tennessee Walkers is particularly telling to me.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a gated breed, right? Often favored for long trail rides because of their smooth gait.
Yes.
So by mentioning the specific trail system, the LBJ Grasslands, he is communicating to a very specific demographic of equestrian buyer. He's telling them, I understand the nuanced requirements of your lifestyle.
Exactly, because think about the alternative. If you are trying to sell a specialized horse property in Lipan right now, and you're already facing a massive loss, you cannot hire a traditional suburban agent.
Right, an agent who doesn't know the difference between a loafing shed and a fooling stall.
Exactly. Because when that lowball buyer comes in, offering 80 cents on the dollar, claiming the equestrian infrastructure is obsolete or worthless, the suburban agent has absolutely no ability to push back. They don't know the value.
They just look at the comps and shrug.
Right. But the specialized agent uses their agricultural background to defend the appraisal and justify the premium.
That makes total sense. They can explain the capital cost of the existing cross-fencing, or the quality of the coastal Bermuda grass for grazing, or the specific utility of the barn layout.
They are essentially selling the replacement cost of the infrastructure to buyers who might be relocating from out of state and don't fully grasp the localized labor costs. They can say, do you know how much it would cost to build this barn today?
Wow, yes. So the actionable intelligence for the listener here is bifurcated, really. If you are a seller in these rural fringes this summer, the data dictates that you must abandon any aspirational pricing.
You really have to.
You must list the property at a price that creates immediate pain for you. Because if you don't, the market will inflict an even greater pain after 200 days of carrying costs.
And you must hire a broker who possesses the technical vocabulary of your specific land use.
Yes. And you just have to mentally prepare for a heavily negotiated, likely cash-driven transaction.
On the flip side, if you are a buyer, you must recognize that you hold absolute dictatorial leverage over these rural assets right now.
Dictatorial leverage. Because the sellers have no alternatives.
None.
But, and this is a big question, just how far does that leverage extend? Because there is a final hyper-specific data point in this entry stack regarding raw land sales. And it suggests the pricing floor hasn't just dropped, it has completely dissolved.
Raw land is the ultimate canary in the coal mine for real estate.
Oh, I completely agree. Let's dig into that.
Well, think about what raw land is. It produces zero income. It requires ongoing tax liabilities.
Right.
And it relies entirely on speculative appreciation.
Right. You're just buying dirt, hoping someone pays more for the dirt later.
Exactly. So when the speculative capital dries up, the underlying utility value of the dirt is instantly exposed.
And it is not pretty. I am looking at the March 2026 data for closed land sales in Weatherford. In March of 2025, there were exactly zero closed land sales.
None.
None. In March of 2026, there were three. The median price for these parcels was just $15,000.
That's incredibly low.
But the chilling metric here is the sold-to-list ratio. The sellers receive 63.9% of their original asking price.
Wow. We established that 79.6% in Perrin was a capitulation, a 63.9% ratio. That is a total liquidation event.
It is. I look at that 63% number and I see a complete collapse of market confidence. I mean, a seller who lists a piece of land for $25,000 and eventually just accepts $15,000 hasn't just lost a negotiation.
No, they've given up.
They have totally abandoned their belief in the future value of the asset.
The mechanics of a transaction closing at nearly a 40% discount usually involve severe external distress. It is rarely a strategic move by the seller.
So what's the story there? Why panic sell raw land?
Well, the seller likely purchased the land during the peak of the frenzy, assuming they would eventually build a custom home on it or flip it to a developer.
Right.
But now, the cost of a construction loan has essentially doubled, making building personally unfeasible for them and the developers. They have pulled back to the suburban core to mitigate their own risk.
So nobody wants to buy it to build.
Exactly. Then the property tax bill arrives in the mail, and the seller realizes they are bleeding cash on an asset with absolutely zero liquidity.
So they just accept the very first offer that materializes, regardless of the massive discount, just to stop the financial hemorrhage.
It perfectly mirrors the dynamic in the acreage market that we just talked about, but it's amplified. Because raw land lacks even the baseline utility of providing shelter. You can't even live in it while you wait to sell.
Which forces us to ask the ultimate contrarian question. I mean, I am looking at days on market exceeding 200 days in Millsap. I am looking at nearly 20% price declines in Perrin. I am looking at raw land being liquidated at 63 cents on the dollar in Weatherford.
It's a lot of red ink.
Right. So if a listener has a secure, cash-heavy position right now, are they staring at a falling knife where prices will just continue to bleed out for the next 3 years? Or is this the greatest generational opportunity to acquire Texas acreage at a massive structural discount?
That is the million-dollar question. And the answer is entirely dependent on the duration of your capital.
The duration of your capital. Okay, explain that.
If a buyer is looking to acquire raw land in Lipan today at a 40% discount with the intention of flipping it or developing it within a short 24 to 36-month window, they're almost certainly catching a falling knife.
So stay away if you want a quick return.
Absolutely. The macroeconomic headwinds, the high cost of debt, the elevated material costs for rural construction, and that demographic shift back to the suburban core we discussed, those are deeply entrenched right now.
Right. They aren't going away by next summer.
No. Those conditions will not organically reverse themselves in the short term. The asset will just continue to demand carrying costs from you while offering zero liquidity.
So the short-term flipper will just get crushed by the holding costs.
Exactly. But what if your time horizon is a decade?
A decade. Okay.
If the capital is patient, meaning a 10, 15, or even 20-year time horizon, this is a textbook acquisition window.
Really?
Yes. Because the current distress is a cyclical anomaly layered over a relentless secular trend.
And what is that secular trend?
It is the outward expansion of the Dallas-Fort Worth metroplex.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it is the defining demographic reality of North Texas, isn't it?
It really is. The DFW metroplex operates like an economic black hole. It is constantly pulling in corporate relocations, massive population growth, and new infrastructure development. And because of that, it is continuously expanding its event horizon westward.
You really can track the progression over the last 30 years. First, the growth consumed the inner ring suburbs. Then it pushed out to places like Aledo. And now it has fully entrenched itself in Weatherford, which is creating that 13% price appreciation we discussed earlier.
Exactly. The physical footprint of the city cannot be contained. It can only sprawl outward in search of cheaper dirt.
Which brings us right back to the duality of Parker County here in late May 2026. This deep dive has explored a market operating in two totally distinct realities.
Very distinct.
In the Weatherford suburbs, you have this measured, highly specific equilibrium. Inventory is remarkably flat year over year. The supply is hovering right near a perfectly balanced 5.8 months. And if you bring a flawless product to market, you are participating in a microclimate where prices are still appreciating by nearly 13%. But the moment you leave the subdivisions and enter the rural corridors of Millsap, Lipan, and Perrin, you enter an environment defined by extreme friction, 200-day listo cycles, and total asset liquidation.
And that is why the macro data will always lie to you by blending those two realities into a palatable, completely fake average.
Right. The true value of this analysis for you as the listener is recognizing that market conditions are no longer dictated by the county line. They are dictated by the specific utility and location of the individual asset.
You really have to ignore the aggregate headlines and focus obsessively on the neighborhood-level physics.
Neighborhood-level physics, I love that.
You have to understand the specific capital stack behind the condo down the street and the specific appraisal mechanics of the acreage outside of town. It requires a level of diligence that simply wasn't necessary 3 years ago.
It really wasn't. As we close out this analysis of the Parker County landscape, we want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, a concept that kind of bridges the gap between the suburban strength and the rural distress we've covered today.
Yeah, I'd ask the listener to consider the trajectory of that relentless westward expansion we just talked about.
Right.
The infrastructure, the retail developments, the school districts, they are constantly marching west, chasing affordability and available land.
Always moving west.
So the rural corridors like Lapin and Perrin, they feel incredibly isolated and distressed in the current economic cycle. The lack of liquidity makes them seem like dead money right now.
But the map of development doesn't care about cyclical distress. It only cares about available space.
Exactly. The real question you have to ask yourself is, how long will those areas truly remain rural?
Oh, that's a great point.
Because when the Weatherford market reaches total build-out and density saturation, the developers will be forced to look to the next horizon.
Which is Perrin and Lapin.
Yes. The buyers who possess the liquidity and the foresight to step into the rural market today, absorbing that distressed acreage at 60 or 70 cents on the dollar, they are not just buying cheap dirt.
No, they are strategically positioning themselves in the direct path of the Metroplex's inevitable expansion.
Exactly. The distressed rural seller of 2026 is inadvertently subsidizing the generational wealth of the suburban developer of 2036.
Wow.
It is simply a matter of who can afford to hold the land long enough for the future to arrive.